Good afternoon, everyone. It's a great privilege to be here this morning and to be able to share a little bit of my brief story also, but also about God and what God has been doing, but also being able to share the Word of God on this first Sunday of January 2020. It's a brand new year. It's a brand new decade, and I'm sure we've possibly reflected over the last year and possibly reflected over the last decade at some of the decisions we've made and some of the changes that's happened in our life. But first of all, I just want to thank God for my salvation this morning. 19 years ago, I was messed up on heroin. I was in and out of prison, and my life was going nowhere, and I was introduced to the ministry of Victory Outreach by a friend, and I entered into one of our recovery homes, like a rehab home, and that's where I was introduced to Jesus, and my life has never been the same. I don't know if any of you can give me a witness there, but when we come into contact with Jesus and Jesus comes into our heart, then our lives can never be the same. And I want to thank God for my salvation today. I also want to thank God for my beautiful wife, who's sitting up the back, trying not to look at me right now. But I will thank God also for her salvation and the work that Christ has done in her life. And I also want to thank God for my in-laws. I know that sometimes when you marry, you're not quite sure what you're going to get with the in-laws. Be careful. I'm standing behind his pulpit this morning, so I have to be careful. But no, I'm really fortunate and blessed by the Lord that the Lord placed me in such a family like this. And I see Robert as a Jethro in my spiritual walk, as someone who I look to, and I see that God has been with him through his journey. And also thank you to Leslie Ann for being an amazing mother-in-law, granny, and all-round great person. My journey with Christ, as you heard, began in 2001, where when I was messed up on drugs. But my journey before I became messed up on drugs and all the other things, I was in the army. I was a soldier in the British Army for the best part of 4 years, and I was also in the conflict in Bosnia and Yugoslavia there when the war was on, and I was in the middle of all that stuff. And I left the army after, four years, whatever it was, and I moved from Oxford in England. I moved back to Falkirk. That's where I'm originally from. And I struggled to adapt. I struggled to fit back into society. You know, when you're in the army, or you're used to a certain culture and a certain way of life. You carry a rifle and you have a certain language and a certain talk. And when I moved back to Falkirk, there was none of that. In fact, nothing had changed from Falkirk. Everything just seemed to be the same. The same people hanging around outside the bookies, the same people hanging around outside the bars, the same people hanging around at the corner stops. Nothing had changed, and so I really struggled to settle back into life. And that led me to drinking, that led me to taking drugs, that led me to getting involved with football hooligans. And I ended up getting into violence and getting into trouble with the police. All of that led me to a place where I wasn't, I was at the floor. I was really in a bad way, and a friend introduced me to Victory Outreach, and I went into the program, and to God be the glory, amen. For the last 19 years, I've been walking with His grace, amen. And so it's been a long walk with God, but I'm grateful. If there's anybody grateful, it's me, and I really thank God for that. So we're back here in Scotland, and we've been on a journey, like Robert said, since we got married 5 years ago. We've been missionaries in Ireland, in the beautiful nation of Ireland. Fortunate to be there for 10 months, then back from there back to Manchester. And then from Manchester, got launched to Amsterdam, and we pioneered a brand new church in a nightclub in Amsterdam. A little bit different from this facility you have here. It was an actual working nightclub. So they would do the nightclub on a Saturday night. The nightclub would be bouncing and full of people and full of all kinds of things. And then they would hire a cleanup crew would come in on a Sunday morning, and then we would come in at 8 a.m., and then we would transform this nightclub into a church. That was hard work, but we saw God, and we saw God grow that ministry. In the space of around 18 months, we saw it grow to about 80 or 90 people, and it's still continuing to move forward then. So then God then took us to Frankfurt in Germany, where we were able to be part of another ministry, Victory Outreach, but of a church that was already established, and they just needed some help in some areas. So we've been fortunate and blessed, man, to be able to travel with God. And as some of you know, this year we're looking to plant a church in Glasgow. And it's been on my heart ever since I was saved by the Lord. He put it on my heart early. I was going to go back into Scotland and pastor a church there. And also my wife's heart. It was also on my wife's heart as well. So when God brought us together, our visions came together. And now it comes to pass. So please pray for us. We'd really love your prayers. And we're going to keep let everybody know what's going on. We're going to be social media. Our social media is going to be starting from tomorrow. Tomorrow we also go into Glasgow. We have two viewings for houses tomorrow. So please, we'd appreciate your prayers for wisdom and favor. But we're excited, man. Listen, when you live for God, and when you see God, and when you've seen all that God has done in the past, then I'm excited about what God is going to do in the future. So I'm just going to open up in a word of prayer this morning before I read God's word, and then we'll move on. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you choose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. We thank you, Lord, for this church here in Dundee, and God, the impact and the footprint that it has upon not only this city, but further afield. God, thank you for the leadership team and the pastoral team and the elders of this church. And Father, we thank you for their hearts. And Lord, I pray over this congregation this morning that as we speak about Jesus, as we speak about Herod, and as we speak about the wise men, I pray, God, our hearts would be open to see, Lord. And ultimately today, God, we want to just draw closer to you. In 2020, we want to be, Lord, a church of worship and a church who open up our hearts and give you all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to read from Matthew's chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and it's up on the wall behind me. And we already had a reading from it this morning, so I don't have to go through it all. But the first thing I want to speak about is Jesus. And it may seem obvious that the first thing I want to speak about is Jesus, but as we begin 2020, I think Jesus should be the first thing that we speak about. He should be the first person that we talk about. He should be first things first, is that Jesus is the cornerstone and Jesus is the center of our lives. And in the beginning of this verse 1, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. And even when Jesus was born, even though Jesus was not a man yet, he was only still a child in this scripture, we see that from the birth of Jesus that he had influence. Things began to change straight away. People began to sense that there was a time and there was a season when something new had happened. And even his influence at this time had led only Herod to make some decisions, but also the wise men to make some decisions in their life. We begin 2020. I just want to just speak to us this morning and say, does the birth of Christ, does it still carry that significance in our life? Does it still have that influence in our life that we begin this year, we begin this period of time with a renewed focus on Jesus? I know we live in a world where there's TV, there's internet, there's wars going on, there's bombs being dropped, there's fires in Australia, there's famines here, and there's all different types of stuff going on. And it can be easy for ourselves to get distracted. And it can be easy for us to start to look at the world system and all these different things. But I want to encourage us today as we begin 2020 to make Jesus the first things first in our life. I know that some churches, they start off a brand new year, they start off with prayer and fasting, because when we draw close to God and when we draw close to Jesus, the Bible says that he draws close to us. So the first things first for us today is, when we read this scripture, is that Jesus should be the center of our lives. And Jesus should be the center of all that we do. And as we read the scripture here, we see that when Christ was born, he had not even spoken a word yet. He had not even worked a miracle. He had not even proclaimed a single doctrine. He had not even, you know, spoke or cast out anything. But when he was born, something changed. There was a change. There was a shift. He had instant influence. Even though he was still an infant, he had infinite. There was infinite power in this infant Savior. You see, when Jesus comes into our life, or when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, there should be an influence. There should be things that begin to change. Our lives should change. Our heart's desires should change. Our mind should change. Our direction of our life should change. Jesus was born, the direction of the wise men's life, they changed. We see, as we'll get to that further down, because of the birth of Jesus, Herod's life changed and his decision-making changed, and we'll also look at that as we move through. So when Jesus was born, we see here that the Magi, or the Magi, as I sometimes call them, it says that they came from the east to Jerusalem. And as I was reading this, I was thinking that they came to the wrong place, because Jesus was in Bethlehem. He wasn't in Jerusalem. And when I was thinking this, I was thinking to myself, if these people were astrologers, as some people think, then how can they miss the sign? It's almost like they missed the cutoff on the GPS, or they missed their direction. And when I was thinking about it, I thought that that's sometimes like us men, how we don't like to ask for directions, and sometimes we end up lost. Amen. But these men, they turned up in Jerusalem. And it got me to thinking, why did they turn up in Jerusalem? Because they saw the star. The Bible says that they saw his star. So they knew that the King of the Jews had been born. So what other place would you come to celebrate the birth of the Jews? You'd come to Jerusalem. But when they came to Jerusalem, I think they expected to go into Jerusalem and expect a carnival atmosphere and expect parties going on. He's arrived, the birth of Jesus. He's here, the one that we've been hoping for, the one that we've been waiting for. The Savior of the world has came. But when they got to Jerusalem, it was business as usual. The people in Jerusalem had missed the moment. They missed the arrival. They missed the sign that God was giving them. And I think to myself that when Jesus is in our lives, or when we realize the sign of the times, it can never be business as usual. We can never just get business as usual with God, especially when we recognize the sign of the times like these people did. If we match that with our life right now, we see the sign of the times that we live in. We see what's happening around the world. As I mentioned earlier, we see that bombs are being launched. We see that wildfires are raging. We see that there's poverty. We hear of earthquakes just in California last week. All of these things are not new, but they are signs. And as a church, we cannot allow ourselves to not see these signs and not recognize these signs. And when we see these signs, it can never be business as usual. How can we add that to our life? How can we apply that to our life? Our prayer life can be business as usual. Our walk with Christ can never be business as usual. Our witnessing and our evangelizing and our soul winning can never be business as usual. I believe that we're coming in a period of time when people are being led astray by false doctrine, and people are being led astray by internet fads and all these different things. And we as the church, we see the signs. We see what's happening in the world. And we know that there's I believe that Jesus is coming soon. I believe that we're entering into a last time. And as we begin this year in 2020, also, as we place Jesus first, I also just want us to take into our hearts that it can never be business as usual. That when Jesus is involved in our life, it can never be business as usual. We see that when the wise men, when they arrived in Jerusalem, like I said, I believe that they arrived there expecting to join a party. That they to go there, and there was flags waving and horns tooting and people just celebrating, but when they got there was nothing happening. And I believe that's why they began to ask the question, where is Jesus? Where is he? We saw the star. We believe that he's been born. The King of the Jews has been born. So how come none of you are celebrating? And then Herod heard these wise men asking the questions. And then Herod began to panic. And Herod began to he began to fear for his position. He began to fear that there was a new king on the scene, that he was going to lose his kingly position. Just a little bit about King Herod, that he was known as Herod the Great. And he was great, in fact, in a lot of the things that he did. He was great in his building plans. He was a great builder. He was a great ruler. He was great in administration. He was great in many different ways, but he was also not so great in some ways. He was wealthy and politically gifted. He was intensely loyal and an excellent administrator. He was clever enough to remain in the good graces of the successive Romans emperors. His famine relief for the poor was superb, and his building projects, including the temple, were admired even by his enemies. But he loved power, inflicted incredibly heavy taxes upon his people. In fact, Augustus, the Roman Empire, had said that it was safer to be Herod's pig than it was to be Herod's son. Later on in Herod's life, he became sick, and he began to make some decisions and make some choices because of his poor mental health. The illness that he had began to affect his mental stability, and you see, if you read the history of Herod the Great, that in fact he actually started to murder his family and kill his sons, and anybody that rose up against him, even his wife and a lot of his family, he had them put to death. So we see here that King Herod had struggled with some mental health. And I think just as we enter 2020, I also see that mental health is something that's really big right now. It's always been big, don't get me wrong. But we see it being talked about. If you watch football, it's being talked about. If you watch politics or any type of outlet where they're talking about mental health. And I just want to encourage us in 2020 that it's okay not to be okay. That it's okay to speak about your problems and speak about something that's not going on right inside of your life and inside of your mind. It's okay to speak to a brother or a sister. It's okay to speak to your pastor or your friend. It's okay to say to somebody, hey, I'm struggling. And as the church, one of the things that we can look out for in our family and friends in 2020 is we can begin to look out for signs of mental health, signs that things are going wrong in people that we love. Some of these signs are signs in the change of our behavior, decision-making, and the safety of our lives. Herod's family began to see that his decision-making was beginning to tail off. He was making wrong decisions. He was having people put to death. It was affecting the safety of the people around him. And I just want to encourage us in this year, really as a church, to be the people who we're open to those who struggle with mental health. And maybe if you know someone that's making the wrong decisions right now, you can see that it's affecting their health, it's affecting those around them. I want to encourage us to get around them. Get around them and pray. Get around them and talk to them. Get around them and let them know that there is hope in their life. But the reign of King Herod also gives us a chronological marking point that Jesus was born before the death of Herod the Great, believed to be somewhere around about the 4th BC. So we see through the birth, through the life of Herod there, that there was many things. And as Jesus was born towards the end of Herod's life, he started to order the death of the children under the age of 2. This was because his mental health was deteriorating and he was making choices that were fearful. He was making choices that were panic choices. He feared for his position. We can never be fearful of losing your position over the fear of losing your life. Never be fearful of losing anything you have for the sake of your safety. Your safety is more important than your position. So we come to the three wise men. Well, the Bible doesn't actually tell us that it's three wise men, but we know we follow the nativity, we see the programs, we've watched many different things. The Bible doesn't actually say that there was only three. Actually, commentators believe that there were many that came. But I believe that there was three that presented the gifts. As we know, there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And if you were coming before the king or the queen today, and we came as a group, we came as a people to celebrate, I'm sure that there would be some organization on the way there. I can imagine that the magi or the wise men, and they're coming with all their people. And I can imagine everybody's excited to go and visit the king. They're excited about the journey, and they're excited to get there. But there would be some organization, I believe, to say, okay, you're going to give the gold, you're going to give the frankincense, and you're going to give the myrrh. Because I don't believe they all came there and everybody just threw gifts at Jesus. I believe that there was order and there was organization. This is what comes with being wise. Organization and structure. But the journey of the wise men is one that I want to finish up on here, is their journey. They saw the signs of the times and they journeyed with each other. And along the journey, I believe that it was tiresome, and I believe that they had needed some help from each other, and they needed perseverance, and they needed strength and encouragement from one another. Like I mentioned earlier, they traveled to Jerusalem. Then from Jerusalem, they traveled to Bethlehem. There, when they arrived in Bethlehem, they then met Jesus. They came to where Jesus was. The Bible says that they bowed down and they worshipped him. How did they get to Jerusalem and Bethlehem? They got there by a star that was leading them. And as Robert was talking about earlier, the star was representative of Jesus being the light of the world. The light of the world led them. The light led them. It was a supernatural supernova thing that happened in the sky. As these people were astrologers, they sensed and they knew that what was happening at this time was completely different from what they had ever saw before. And it led them straight into the presence of Jesus. The star that led them to Jesus was full of light. And we as the church are supposed to carry the light that lead people to Jesus. We are the light bearers. We are the ones that the Bible says we are like a light that sits on top of a hill. We are not to be hidden. We are not to be unused. We are to carry our light into Dundee and all over Scotland and all over the world this year. Because there's no greater thing than leading people to Jesus. Because when you know what Jesus has done in your life, you will never have a problem leading anybody to Jesus. When they arrived at Jesus, they bowed down and they worshipped him. They bowed down and they worshipped him. So as I conclude here, as I finish up, here's a takeaway for you. Here's a takeaway for all of us. How many know everybody loves a takeaway? My brother Ray likes a takeaway. I like a takeaway. In Manchester, we used to get Caribbean food. I love Caribbean food. Curry, goat, rice and peas, dumpling, and all these different things. We've been blessed to travel the world. We've lived in Amsterdam and Germany. So we've had many takeaways. I do love a good Scottish takeaway. I do like a good fish and chips and a haggis and black pudding. But here's a takeaway for you. A takeaway is something that you take home. You take home and you digest it in your home. The story of the three wise men, or the wise men, it stands as a rich testimony to the power and the inspiration of the story of the mysterious wise men who left everything to embark on a long and arduous journey to find Jesus Christ. And if they went on such an adventure to discover the light of the world, so should we. We should do well to follow in their example. Three things, and then I'm finished. Number one, they bowed down and they worshipped him. They bowed down and they worshipped him. When you come before the Lord in reverence before Jesus, they bowed down and they worshipped him. The second thing that they did was they opened up their treasure chests. Now your treasure chest, our treasure lies in our heart. That's what scripture says. The treasure lies in our heart. So what they did is they bowed down, they worshipped him, and opened up to Jesus. They opened up everything they had. And then lastly, they gave their gifts. They gave. You see, sometimes we get so used to coming into prayer that we come into prayer and we ask. Lord, give me, Lord, give me, Lord, give me. But the wise men had an encounter with Jesus, and what they did is they bowed down before him, they opened up their treasure chests, and they gave. So what can we do in 2020? we can worship God. Let this be a year where we worship him. Let this be a year where we bow down and we worship him. Worship his holiness. Worship his majesty. Worship him for being our healer. Worship him for being our deliverer. Worship him for being a restorer. Worship him for being the great I am. Worship him for being the all-powerful and the almighty and the all-knowing. Worship him for the one who can do all things. We should open up our hearts and give God everything we have. Give him your treasure. Say, Lord, here I am. Take everything I am. Take all of my treasure. Take all of my heart. It belongs to you. And then lastly, what we can do is we can give him our gifts. We say, Lord, every talent, every gift, everything you've given me, the work of my hands, the work of my ears, the work of my voice, the work of my feet, every gift you've given me, Lord, I give back to you that you can use me for your kingdom in 2020. If we could just take a minute to close our eyes. And we just say a word of prayer. Jesus, you are the anchor of our lives. As the song we just sang said, through the storm of our lives, Jesus, you are the anchor. And Lord, I know that in 2020, God, you have great things in store for each and every one of us in this place. I pray first things first, Jesus, we remember you and you alone as the centerpiece, as the focus of our lives, that we would bring every decision to you, every idea to you, every thought to you, every creative thought to you, every financial need to you, every spiritual and health and mental need, we would bring them to the throne. And Lord, we pray again also for those that maybe have some health issues, mental health issues, decisions are being made that are wrong, or decisions that are being made that affect our health. I pray, Lord, that you would place people around us, or we would be the people that place ourselves around them. And also, and lastly, Lord, that we would journey this year to get into your presence. We would let nothing stop us from entering your presence. Even though the journey may be hard, the journey may be tiresome, the journey may be lonesome sometimes, but when we get into your presence, things begin to change. Because, Lord, where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is healing. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is, oh God, there are great things. And I pray, Lord, that we take home, like these wise men, that we would leave everything this year and get into your presence. Oh God, that we would open up our hearts and we would give you all that we have in 2020. We ask this, Father, today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was going to sing a song there, but I'm going to leave that to people that are better. But I'm just going to leave us with one thing. Let's just worship God this year. Worship God this year. Give him your everything. Don't hold back. Amen. Thank you.